Yeah. Irma right now usually sits right there, but I think she's getting things ready for Mike Medrano's wedding shower. He and Sabrina will celebrate that together as our church, so I know she's busy with that. And but if you're visiting for the first time, if you're a guest, I'd meet you in the cafe today. I'd love to shake your hand. It'd be my honor if you're coming for the first time or if you need anything like that. Again, make sure that you meet us. I just received a beautiful cross. Courtney Bernal was able to go to Nicaragua on a short-term mission trip. I think she stayed there almost 2 weeks in Nicaragua. And so we got a beautiful cross, and she'll probably prepare something for us next week and show us like a PowerPoint and see all of the mission adventures that she was able to do. And so I'm waiting to hear for that good report. She is here again. Welcome her home. Amen. Welcome back. I love you, Courtney. I'm proud of you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. A couple of slides on the big screen. Be the Church is happening in about two Wednesdays from now. And what we want to do is literally go out into the communities. We've done some things in the past that we've done creatively, and we're doing something else creatively. We're going to do a questionnaire to our neighborhood and to where large people groups gather. And they'll come out of Target or come out of HEB, and we'll ask them three questions about our community. And they're really, we do know the heartbeat of our community, but we want to ask them certain things. And these three questions are powerful. One is, if an organization had all the resources in the world and money wasn't really an object, it won't be worded that long, what is it that they could do for our community? And I want to hear their story. Y'all are looking at me like I dropped out of space, some of you. You know what? I want to hear from them that, well, we would do something for our students, or we would do something. I'm sure they're going to tell us something like that. And that's where we really need to be our aim. That needs to be our goal as a church, right? Make their dream come true. Again, if HEB at Marbach Road and 410 shut down, there'd be a whole lot of people that were mad. Now we got to drive a little bit further. Now we got to go to Walmart only or whatever it might be. If this church shut down, would anybody care? And I think we've gotten to a point now in our history here at Marbach that this church does matter. Amen. But we want to make it so vital as a lighthouse to our community that we're a life-giving center, and it's part of they can't live without living faith. Right, everybody? So I want you to have that within you too today. Amen. So Be the Church will be about that. Summer small groups have launched, and we want to make sure that you come back on Wednesday night. You're invited. Our teachers are teaching great sessions, the acts of God, why God does certain things and we don't understand, or why God permits, or we ask questions like that. Where was God when the tsunami hit? Where was God when the terrorist attacked? And those type of questions, that small group leads that. We do another small group called Good to Great in God's Eyes, and these are 10 characteristics that great Christians do. And so that's a powerful small group. And the final one we do is finances, about really how to be just have a plan from God about, we all know to be debt-free. And we all know that we shouldn't spend more than we have income coming in, but this teaches you and reminds you through a small group on that and the principles of just giving and that sort of thing. So I want to make sure you're part of that. Again, that's this Wednesday. Be part of that. Summer Blast, the final slide before we begin. Jamie spoke about that. But August 5th and 6th, we're going to be doing an evening session with our children. It's our VBS, but it's on steroids. So you're going to need to be part of that if you're an adult, by bringing the cookies, by bringing the Kool-Aid, by bringing all the stuff so we serve our community. It's totally free for our children, but you want to be part of that because it's happening and doing great. By the way, they're doing an awesome job this morning at our 10:30 service. They're doing this Bible trivia game show, and if your child is part of that, their socks are going to be literally blessed off of them. And thank God for Leno's leadership, Christina's leadership, and Gabriel's leadership, and our teachers. Right, everybody? Amen? Hey, I heard a funny story about a young lion, and he's wandered off, and he's wandered off away from dad, king of the jungle, but he's learning. He's a young lion, a cub, and, he approaches the other animals in the jungle, and he approaches the monkeys, and he says, "Who's king of the jungle?" this lion, little cub says, and they're all scared of him. They go, "You are. You're the king of the jungle." So he approaches all these animal groups, the zebras. "Who's king of the jungle?" And they're all saying, "You are. You're king of the jungle." Well, he comes up to the bull elephants, mighty creatures. And he goes to these bull elephants, and this little cub goes, who's king of the jungle? And that bull elephant grabs him with his big, you know, nose thing or whatever you call it, you know, a trunk. And he swings him around about 20 times and swinging him around this little cub, swinging around. And he throws him into the river. And that little lion goes flying into the river. Little lion, you know, looks up out of the water and says, just because you didn't know the answer to the question doesn't mean you have to get nasty about it. There's always a way to get back at somebody, right, everybody? And so I want to speak again on I See Red. It's our summer sermon series about the words of Jesus. And we're taking the words of Jesus, and they're so powerful that they're still ranking up there, even to this day. Our words sometimes, our children don't remember what we said a minute ago, right, everybody? Don't move the AC thing past 78 when I'm not here, whatever it might be. And they're moving it down. I forgot, Dad. But Jesus' words 2,000 years ago, they were spoken, and they're still being applied. They're still powerful. There's still something to be said about them and something to live by. Jesus said, I do only what I see my Father in heaven doing. Everything he does, I do. And so everything that God said, and he spoke it out, and God used those weighty sayings, decrees, mandates, so we could learn about them today and we could apply them today. And so this morning I want to teach you about let go and have a moment with you here about his final words. One of them on the cross was, Father, forgive them. And it all started out before he said that. Well, they took him and they beat him with a cat of nine tails. And that wasn't a cat. It was literally this fist thing looking with nails in it, glass in it, sharp objects. And they would beat Jesus' back. 39 lashes was what the Roman law said to do that before someone was crucified, that instrument of death, before they took him there. It literally opened up, as in organs were probably showing at this time, and blood was spewing out, and his backside probably looked like hamburger. They took him into this room, and Roman centurions say the story in Mark that they put a crown on him. Well, it wasn't a crown that looked beautiful with shiny diamonds on it. It was a crown of thorns. And they put it down to his brow. Blood came down. They also blindfolded him at a time and bullied him and punched him in the face. And they used his own words against him. They were saying things like this, prophesy. Prophesy who punched you, King of the Jews. And they laughed and mocked him. And his face was probably bloodied and swollen and purple. And if that wasn't enough, they put a beam, a cross, on his back, and he marched it up a Golgotha hill, bloodied backside, whipping him, spitting on him, mocking him. His beard that he had wasn't much left of it probably when he finally got to the cross. He looked like a total animal. They said at that time, the Romans also would strip people totally nude to humiliate them even more, hung him on a cross, a naked man bleeding, and after the 9-inch nails went into him, feet, and then his wrist. And I just ask you, has anything like that ever happened to you? No. Nothing like that has ever happened to anybody. They may have spit on you one time. Maybe that's a minority in here that can raise their hand. Maybe they punched you once when you weren't looking until you got them back. But nobody has ever gone through what Jesus had went through in those final hours of his life on this earth today. How can you never be offended? How can you never be offended? The only way that you could never be offended is if they were to probably, you'd live in a closet and they'd stick a peanut butter and jelly sandwich underneath the door. You know, you lived in a cave that way. And then you know what would happen? Eventually you'd get mad at that person sticking the PB&J underneath that thing. You'd get mad at them eventually. You'd get offended because we're built that way. We're built to stay offended. We learn how to be offended and how to unforgive and so forth. Am I talking to the church today or am I talking just to me? Remember, I preached to myself before I preached to you long before it today. Amen. And the scripture says in Luke chapter 23, verse 32, it says this, two of the other men, both criminals, were both led out with Jesus to be executed. Are y'all there with me? And they went to the place called Skull where they crucified him. And along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left today. You know, the words of a dying person are real important. Like the last words, when they call everybody in and he's speaking blessings, or, you know, you hear, mijo, be good, and I want you to take care of your family, that sort of thing. And then, you know, goes off and dies. I've been at a couple of them and heard final words from people. the final words are, you get kind of brave because you're going to go off. You're not going to have to deal with this earth. So you can say whatever you want. They're going to have to deal with it afterwards. And so if it's, son, don't marry her. She's a liar. And he died. It's off, baby. Hasta la vista. Daddy said you were a liar. Amen. And you got through right there. Dad gave you a hook away. None of the ladies are laughing, but it's okay. Amen. Just an example. Amen. He could have used the other person too. Jesus, the most important moment really in his life, because this is it. If he doesn't, see what was important, not only how he died, but he was going to come back 3 days later. And he told everybody that he says, you destroy this temple and I'm going to build it back up. It's going to come back in 3 days. So he had to be at his best when he came back. Do you understand that today? So he had to make sure nothing was holding him back when he came back. The Lazarus raising, the Jairus' daughter raising, all that could have been messed up, but there was still, if he didn't do this, if he didn't resurrect himself, it would have been all, the gospel wouldn't have been true. Do you all understand that today? So he had to make sure that he said the right thing and did the right thing during those final words. And so what did he say? He said, go get him, God. They're hanging me. I'm the most innocent man alive. Come get them, angels. Make them all, make a nuke bomb right now happen in the presence and save me from this mess. He didn't say that. What he said is Luke 23:34. Father, come on, let's read it together. Jesus said, Father. Man, first service did so well, and I want to brag on you next week. Is that okay? Amen. You're looking at me like you're heartbroken. Come on, everybody. It's on the big screen, right? It's going to be because Mike's doing everything, man. He's juggling kittens. There he is. All right, there he is. Thank you, guys. I'm going to wake up one day. Amen. Jesus said, now, 1, 2, 3. Jesus said, Father. It's still not there. Give me a good amen. No, we're going back. Amen. Just repeat after me. We're going to get there. Yeah. Hey, 1, 2, 3. Jesus said. Yeah. I'm amazed how he didn't say justice now. I'm so innocent. No, before Jesus died, he said, I don't have to get any weight on me anymore. This guy that nailed me to this cross and put those 9, and then boy, did they hurt because he was a man, and boy, did I bleed. I don't need anything on me of unforgiveness. I need to get this thing off because I got to be at my best in 3 days. And it's a perfect application about you being at your best and what things hold you back. Forgiveness is not saying you're walking around all over the place and saying, oh, it's okay that you walk all over me. It's okay that you said all those bad things, that you cussed me. It's okay that you're beating me up. It's okay, it's okay. Pollyanna life for me. Ha, ha, ha. Everything's good and I don't see anything bad. No, that's not what I'm saying today. What I'm saying is, what you're saying, forgiveness is this. I can't afford when you walk into the room that my blood pressure goes up anymore. I can't afford that every time I think of you, I get all messed up and I lose my sleep now. I can't afford that. I got to set you free right now because I'm taking too much energy out of my life right now thinking about this problem and thinking about this offense, and it's no longer. I'm going to set you free now. And so I don't got to, you can keep on getting crazy, but I'm going to be free. And that's what forgiveness is. It doesn't mean that you're going to make light of what they did to you. You're going to deal with that. But what you're saying, I'm going to get free today. I need to be free. I'm going to stay free today. Amen. And so the words of prophecy from the prophet Isaiah that we saw you a minute ago, amen, and Isaiah is coming back now. 700 years before this, earlier, Jesus said these things. For he said, Jesus said, for he bore the sins of what? Many? And he made a prayer of it. He made intercession, because intercession is prayer. So Jesus prayed for everyone with all the sins and everything was happening. And it's a picture of us that change is coming when we pray things away, when we do business with God today. Amen. I'm going to give you a couple of principles today to think about. Number one is this, the before Christ, the BCU, BC Mario, BC Howard, BC Margaret, whatever your name might be, Porfulio, BC. This is our response. You owe me, injustice is what? Boy, y'all said that like a bunch of sinners. You're quiet. Amen. Yeah, you owe me. And that was the law back in the Old Testament. Even during the time of Christ, you've heard it said. That's why Jesus said that. You heard it said, an eye for an eye and a what? A tooth. Yeah, you even got that back molar out. Amen. You don't want that. Amen. Matthew 5:38, a hurt for a hurt today. And we're all like that today. You do that to me, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to get even with you. It's all about you. You didn't scratch my back, I scratched yours. Now, I'm not a pushover. I remember the environment that I was raised in as a child. And nobody knew about the Bible. Our Bible was this big white Bible that we had on this stereo system that we got from the Philippines. And nobody ever opened up that Bible. It was always like at the entrance of the door on the side there. And I still see it in that house I grew up in. And I would ask, why do we put it right there? He says, that's why if the evil spirits come, they can't get past that Bible. My mom tell me, I go, okay, good, let's keep it there. And I remember looking at the Bible, and I'd look at these master paintings in there on the slick pages, the glossy pages, things that Rembrandt or Michelangelo, the portraits of Christ, I would see those, and I would flip through it. But nobody ever read the Bible. Nobody ever said anything about the Bible. It just stood there getting dusty. They would dust it every now and then. And so we were raised in the environment that you just didn't forgive. You know, I mean, you talked about people that did you wrong. I know y'all weren't like us, but the Navas were like that. And so all I knew up until the age of 4 was Spanish. I mean, all I knew was my mom raised me, so they're in the house. And so went to public school, learned English, and I was dangerous after that, right? So four years old, did Spanish. So they were giving me shots, my mom tells me, one day in my arm. And I remember that when they gave me the shot, I wasn't expecting it. And so I hauled off with all these maliciones, these cuss words, to the doctor that gave them to me. And there was a Spanish Mexican nurse there, and she understood what I was saying, these maliciones, these bad, and you can imagine what I would say out of my mouth, right, towards somebody that hit me with a shot. And I was hauling off, and my mom was like trying to calm me down, like I was llorando too. I was like crying and cussing in Spanish. And that Mexican nurse said, oy, oy que dice? Listen to what he's saying, because it was out of this four-year-old's mouth. But that was the environment. If somebody did something to us, we would cuss them back, and we would tell them something back. Am I the only evil person in this room that needed to be? Seven demons came out of me when I got Jesus, right? We want to find a perfect world where nobody gives us shots suddenly or hurts us. Yeah, we want to find a perfect job where, you know, not even if you're 40 years old, you've had 10 jobs already. You're a man you want to find, or a woman you want to find a perfect spouse. And you know the numbers there, right? A church even. You want to find a perfect church. And then when you walk in, right, it's messed up, right? Because of pastor, right? Pastor's messing everything up. So, Jesus said something so interesting. He said, offenses will come. Let me help you with a... You're going to have trouble on this earth. There's going to be a... It's not a maybe offense. It's not an iffy offense. They're coming. And you have to be ready. In other words, Jesus said all that so you would be ready for the offense that comes at you at life. And so he said this, which was so interesting as a child of God, to encourage you, since I beat you up enough right now. Everybody will beat up. Show me the next illustration, Mike. Jesus said, if you offend one of these little ones, it would be better for a millstone to be put around your neck and you'd be headlong cast into the sea. And now Jesus was talking about, of course, he's saying, well, that means our children. Yeah, it does. It means children. But it means you as his children. Do you understand that today? So you're in God's hands. And if somebody's messing with you and offending you, it's better that they would just put a big millstone around your neck. If you're the offendee, the one that's doing all the offense, can I point that out to you right there where the sharks are at? That's what it is. And that big grindstone thing, that's what Samson was on when they plucked out his eyes and he was just grinding all day long. You don't want to be a donkey or something that heavy. What I'm encouraged about today as God's child, as you're God's children today, is this, that, man, God's going to take care of his own. And for you to get bent up all out of shape because they did something to your mama 3 years ago or they did something to that, yeah, you deal with that. But you have to forgive because God has them. God's going to deal with it. Revenge is mine, saying Guido, Capone, your Theo. No, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. Let God handle it. He's much more bigger than you today. And so the beautiful thing is that because of this, we respond. The next slide, after Christ, my response is this, because Jesus came on. And I don't say too many cuss words. I may thank them now, right? But when they give me a shot, but y'all, you're too holy in this bunch. Amen. You're alive. You're breathing. God forgives me, so I'll forgive. Yeah. Jesus redefined what forgiveness was, and he took forgiveness to this whole other level. He's teaching the disciples to pray, and he includes forgiveness in there. And he wanted them to model forgiveness and how they live their life, not to repeat things over and over, but they would have a steering mechanism on how to really live life and preset their lives in forgiveness. And so he said this on the big screen. Everybody read it today. 1, 2, 3. Forgive us our debts. Lord, in other words, treat me like those whom I've been offended or I've offended. I have mercy on everybody. Have mercy on everybody. They say stuff about me. I have to work it out, but I'm like you. I eventually just have mercy. God bless that person. God loves that person. God have mercy on that person. You know what? They don't really know what they said. God bless them. You know why I'm having mercy on them? Because I'm going to be responded the same way back. I want God to treat me the same way I'm treating the person that offended me. And if I need to lavish them with mercy, boy, it's quiet in this Baptist church, this Episcopalian church today. If I treat them that way, I will get that same reaping of mercy back on my life today. See, God knew what he was doing when he talked to. I have mercy on everybody, man. I don't want to make that hangman noose for me and I'm fashioning it out for them and then it goes around my neck. Because you hung yourself by the way you treated somebody, right, everybody? And so you release people. You release people and you let them go. And so it's me. Oh, Lord, I'm standing in the need. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh, Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. I need prayer, right, everybody? You like my song, amen? Some of y'all look at me like I woke up. There's a scripture that says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see. Yeah, they'll see God. And so what that means, that pure, that blessed are the pure, it's this word catheter. Catheters right now, when they're placed into our bodies, they help us to keep flowing. They help us to keep moving, and that keeps us regular. There was this lady in my church when I was a kid, and she was she got backed up. She couldn't go to the restroom. She had a cancer that stopped that. And I gave thanks for crazy things like my digestive system working right, because when you don't have a digestive system working right, you know how tough it can be. We've all gone through that, even if you're a young person at times. And to stay regular is real important, isn't it? Because if things start backing up like it did on this lady, I saw her skin color change. I saw hair start falling out. I saw her disposition change. I saw some ugliness come out, all because things weren't regular. Do you understand that today? And so that's your body. How about your spiritual life today? See, the Bible says, again, offenses are going to come. And there has to be a digestive system spiritually in your life that you're digesting what you're supposed to digest, and then the waste needs to come out that needs to come out like offenses. And if they get backed up into you, there's poison and toxic that come into you that you don't want to live that way, because they're going to develop all sorts of things in your spirit that you're not meant to carry, you're not meant to handle. They're meant to be given over at the cross. Do you all understand that today? You're built spiritually to eliminate waste. You're built spiritually to take in vitamins. Man, you ate that cheeseburger and a bunch of stuff came out of you, amen, but some of it stayed for a little bit of vitamin, right, everybody? Am I talking to the real people here? And I'm keeping you awake today, right, everybody? So you want to stay regular. So Peter was saying this one time to Jesus, like, Lord, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? And he thought he was probably giving it up there. Somebody probably, you know, sold them some fish, you know, that wasn't, or he sold some fish to somebody. So he said, I forgave this guy 7 times, and he's looking pretty good. And Jesus said, no, hold up. You're gonna forgive not only 70 times 7. And before Peter could do the math on how many times he had to forgive the crooked deal that he went through, He couldn't add up. Jesus went into this powerful teaching about forgiveness and about what it means to be forgiven and about what it means to hold on to the offense on how the clog is going to happen in your life. And so Matthew 18:23 on the big screen, it says, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date. He's checking with his servants who borrowed money from him. And so who's the king in this story? You can talk back to the preacher. Who's the king? No, not me. Okay, who's the king in this story? God. God is the king in this story. Okay, and who are the servants? That'd be you and me. Okay, so you're in the story here. Jesus is giving an illustration. Are y'all glad you came to church? I sure don't feel it right now, but that's okay. Verse 24, I wish I would have gone to Wendy's or something. Somebody's saying amen. I wish I'd be in the church kitchen right now, right? Some of y'all saying, okay, let me finish. Verse 24, in the process, one of the debtors was brought in that owed him millions of dollars, a massive debt. Verse 25, he could not pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along, which was the law back then, his wife, his children. Imagine that, man, your little baby's going to be slaves. And he said, everything he owed must be paid, the debt. And it says this, the man fell down before the master, and he begged him, please be patient with me. I will repay it. I will pay it all. Imagine if we still lived that way. Maybe you wouldn't have got that plasma TV. Maybe you would have got that iPhone that you're still paying on. No, we're gonna pay it off right away, right? Verse 27, listen to this one. But then the master was filled with what? Pity for him. And he released him. Again, God is the master here, and we are the ones that are the servants that owe. And he released him and forgave his debt. There's lessons to be learned because this servant was forgiven, just like you and I are forgiven. And you're in church today, and we want to live our lives in such a way that we're the light of Jesus, that we're illuminating, we're shining for Jesus. And so that's who I'm talking about today, right now. And so the first principle here, the debtor can't always repay you. The Bible says in the process, one of the debtors was brought in that owed him $1 million, and he couldn't repay. All of us have a debt that we can't repay. I'm not talking about your mortgage. I'm not talking about the pair of shoes that you bought on credit. I'm not talking about that HSN home shopping network thing, that 5 easy payments, the mop. You didn't think I saw that? Well, we saw it. Amen. You're paying for that. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about all the sins that we've committed that we cannot repay. Right, everybody? And that's what Jesus was talking about. God paid it through Christ. And so there are things, on the other hand, sometimes that people have offended you, and it was way back then, and you can't go back in time, or you shared something with somebody that you trusted, a friend, and they put it all over social media, and you can't go back in time and say, you know what, you owe this to me, and it's just not going to happen. The wound is there, and there it is. And so the principle of the second thought is this, the offended can always show mercy, and you can always come back. And then the master was filled with pity for him because we've all offended God today with our sins. And he released him and forgave him of his debt. You ever meet people, or you've ever done to something somebody, or you've ever been hurt by somebody and they don't even know that they hurt you? And they're walking. Who's human in this? Who's breathing right now? Everybody's breathing? Okay, good. So you're alive today. Or maybe that coach benched your kid. Or the teacher did something to your child and they don't even know. The boss overlooks you for the promotion. Or the Christmas card. We're living, right? We're living in this room. You weren't invited to the baby shower. Someone hurt your friend. And you put them on that list. You're on the stink list. I got this pet peeve about driving that I still haven't gotten over. But, you know, y'all need to pray for me about my driving. And I know I'm the only one in here that needs to take the defensive driving. So I'm driving. You know what gets me? You can speed and do all that stuff. I mean, I think it's made for that. The highway's meant to go fast as long as, there's no police around, right? So, now, that's still a law. Just messing with you. See if you're laughing. Amen. And what I don't like are slow drivers. That really irritates me, especially if I'm behind you and I can't get around you. And, you know, so this other day, this person was driving slow, and, you know, I was on the way to church, and, you know, I had to get to church on time, you know, not like you guys, so I had to get to church on time. And so I was trying to, you know, hurry, and this, you know, I was going, God, what's wrong with this person? They're going 45. They could at least go 65 miles over the speed limit, right? Not get caught. And I was like, man, I just got to get going. And, you know, finally I passed him as getting ready to give him the stink eye and look at him, you know, that look. And finally, you know, all of a sudden that look I gave him, like, you know, looking at him. And then, you know, I look over and it's Howard Virial driving. It wasn't Howard Virial, but he does drive like a granny. It was this little old lady, man, and she was shaking, had the steering wheel like at 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock, and she was just looking like, and I was just like, man, after giving her the stink eye and catching that, I said, man, I am going to hell for doing this. I felt so bad, amen, for doing that. And, you know, that's why Jesus said, for they know not what they're doing, amen. They don't know they're driving slow, amen. Go ahead and forgive them today. The forgiven servant and the one, the king, in this story, there's only half the story that I told you. There's this other side of the story where it really becomes powerful in the consequences of unforgiveness. So the story continues. This guy, you know, he wins like the lottery, and he feels like $1 million, no more mortgage. Can you imagine that? No more payments. And so he found somebody, this guy that gets set free from this $1 million debt, and this guy owed him like a penny, any debt, like a somebody say a nickel debt, you know, like a dime. He owed him a dime, and he finds this guy right when he gets out of prison, this guy that owed him a dime, and he says, he starts to choke him, and he says, you owe me all this money, I'm going to throw you in prison now because you owe me this money. Well, the other servants heard about what he had done after this king had let him loose from this massive amount of debt. And he wouldn't even let this guy go for a nickel debt, which is pretty incredible because you don't know what's coming down the road sometimes on the way that you're treating people. The whole reason why I said I show everybody mercy at the point of offense, because you don't know what's about to happen to you in 4 months that you're going to need that same mercy. Boy, have I learned that in my life. How about you? The hard way. Boy, that's... And so this here it goes. The story goes, the king summons him after he finds out this guy gets thrown in jail for just a nickel debt and after he got set free. And so the next slide is this, guys, come on. It says, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have shown your fellow servant the same mercy that I had shown you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And verse 35 says this, and that is what my heavenly Father, Jesus is teaching, the words are in red, is going to do to, will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your, what? From your, yeah, I'm sorry it's so small there, but yeah, from your heart today. Amen, because it's an issue of the heart. Why does God seem so harsh right there? Because that's God in the story. Because God knows how destructive unforgiveness can be upon a person's life. And how it can destroy a life today. How it can eat you alive like cancer. Holding on to an offense is kind of like this. Me sipping this cup, I'm holding on to an offense that you did to me. And I want you to die. But I'm drinking the poison because I want you to die. I'm waiting for you to die and you won't die. And I'm the one dying because I'm sipping the poison. That's what unforgiveness is just like that today, amen? So if you keep the unforgiveness, go ahead and get tortured by hypertension. Go ahead and get tortured by arthritis, diabetes, because we're just going to learn to live with that old Mabel thing that gets on my shoulder, because I learned to live. I even gave it a little pet name because I got that hypertension. Now, I'm going to back up here because I know how some of y'all are, theologically incorrect or whatever you might be, saying, you because I got arthritis, you're saying I'm unforgiving? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is torture will come to you according to the scriptures, and you'll get tortured in all sorts of forms that you don't want to have to handle in this body, and you're not meant to handle it. That's why it's meant for you to release it and stay regular, baby. Stay regular so nothing comes upon us in our lives today. Do y'all understand what I'm saying today? Yeah. I think we've all met people, and they're not living the way they should be living, below the standard, because of things that they've held on to and things that are gripping them. And if we just let the torturers loose and say, that's not my problem anymore, I'm forgiving them, I'm laying it down. I'm about to tell you even about the massive ones. In Africa, the warriors stand by and try to catch monkeys. And how they do it is they hollow out coconuts. And they haul it out, and they make it large enough so the monkey can stick his hand through there and get a treat like a peanut or a mushed up banana in there, and they grab it. And the monkey knows, well, if I grab it, I can. But what won't happen is when that banana's being held onto, or that peanut, is that once they make a fist and grab onto it, they got a big coconut that they're hanging onto and they can't leave. And the warriors, they become monkey bait at that time, monkey stew pretty soon, because they go grab that monkey and bring him in. And so the warriors are hiding out. There goes the monkey grabbing the coconut to get the treat inside. And the warriors are rising. The monkeys are trying to run, but they can't run because they got this big coat. And the unforgiveness does that. It makes you monkey bait. It makes Satan bait. And you, the warrior, that evil man is coming to put something on you that you don't want to handle. If he would just let it go, his hand would be big enough to... But we don't want to let things go. Do you understand that? You keep hard. Do you ever notice that when someone can be all together professional and looking all good and have it all together, but as soon as they get into conflict with an individual, it's almost like they become 8 years old? Or they become, because something happens so harsh to that person at 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 that they turn back into that immature person. And they revert back. And this is to have mercy on people, and that we're all walking with God in this room, especially because God wants to do something in our lives today, that when we let it go, amen, we grow in Him. God has so much for us in this life, amen. Forgiveness looks a little bit... Let me finish up here with this one. There are major offenses. There are massive ones in this room. I recognize the heartbeat of God in this room towards people. What do you do when the offense seems too big? I put that as a question. You don't understand, preacher. How can I forgive them? They beat me. They verbally abuse me. They abandoned me. My dad chose alcohol, or he chose meth over me, or he was a drunk most of his life, and he did this or that to it. I had to lie, you know. The teacher called you a loser, marked me that way. We've all had those massive ones. Here's the answer to the question right there of the mat. What do you do when it seems too big? The thought is this, the truth is this, Jesus is greater than what? Show it to me, Sly, or show it to me, Mike, whoever's there, amen. Jesus' love is greater than any offense. The Bible says this, next slide, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Just as, what? Mercy, God's gift to us, to give to others. Jesus was betrayed by a best friend named Judas. He was rejected by his disciples, his close brothers. They rejected him. They ran away. He was beat. He was humiliated on a cross. And yet he chose to forgive and say, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. Howard, can you help me with this example? Amen. Just punch me in the shoulder a little bit. Not real hard, because I know how you are. Amen. Just keep punching me. Forgiveness is not a weakness. It's not, you know, something. It's not, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not just something. But some forgiveness is like this. You got to eventually deal with it. If they keep hurting you, they keep hitting you. You got to find it. Stop! And when you deal with saying stop, you can elevate your voice on that one. I give you permission. Or you can just say it humbly, like, stop, man. However it needs, because when it's dealt with and it finally stops, that's when forgiveness can take place. I'm going to release you. You're not going to hurt me anymore. I'm not going to allow it to hurt me. I'm going to sleep well at night. And we have these feelings like, well, it hurt me. He kept pushing me. It hurt me. My one hand was tied behind my back. Didn't he know I just had a sunburn or whatever you might be? You know, doesn't he know? You got to come to the point where it's beyond feeling, because it's not an emotional thing. Forgiveness is very spiritual. That's why Jesus made it a prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And when you make it spiritual, it turns into life for you today. Well, I'm still going to feel it even after I pray because I felt it. Are you like me? Keeping me up at night, thinking about it. Every time I see them, I think. And I, at that moment, here's how it turns more spiritual. No, in the name of Jesus, you're not going to take my sleep anymore. You're not going to take my life anymore. I'm not going to think about it that way. Or they come and they talk about that person and they give you ammo. And you go, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to talk about him anymore because I let it go. I'm not going to talk about that event anymore. I've gone on. And it has become that rough sometimes and that gritty sometimes, so you have life and not death in your home. Do you understand that? In your temple. Are y'all with me this morning? God has loved you with an everlasting love. God has said this to you, it's not too late. I got this plan for you. I love what Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare, plans not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope. Amen. And therefore, beloved, when God has all that going for you, why can't you just let that push and let that stop and know I'm not gonna live that way anymore because God has a greater plan for my life? I found this verse in the Bible, and it means so much to me about really how we should live in Matthew 6:14 in your handout. Let's read it together on three. Let's make it the loudest that we've made it all day long, Living Faith. Come on, encourage yourself, encourage the Lord. Read the word, declare Matthew 6:14. Are you there? Ready to go? On three, one, two, three. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father
You know why we need this?
For if you forgive men when they sin against you, see, because we've all offended God. We've all done something that's hurt the heart of God. And if you haven't, it's not because you're not breathing, right? You're going to hurt God. And so we have to forgive men. And if you do not forgive men their sins, not that you have the power to take people to heaven or hell, only one person can do that, when God, our God, can do that. But what you can do is the sins that they commit against you, you can forgive. Your Father will not forgive your sins. And it's such a beautiful picture. And so when the thermostat in your life gets heated up because you're thinking about them, or they walk into the room, you can say, nah, this is going to be climatized now. I'm setting this thing at 75. It's cool in here now. It's good in here now, because you're not going to affect my temperature anymore. You're not going to affect my disposition anymore. I'm going to have life and life abundant today. And look, I didn't know you were going to show up. Your husband didn't tell me about you. Your wife didn't tell me about you. This is the word of God to your life. Amen. And if you've been a lifer at Living Faith Church, you've heard this before, maybe not exactly like this. Do you know why? Because we all get wounded and we all get offended because offenses will come. Amen. So it's very spiritual that you pray through this today. It's impossible for me to forgive. And that's why it's God. He would say that to us. He would say, what's impossible with man is possible with me. That's why we pray today. And it starts with prayer. And when we make it a prayer, this is good. When we make it a prayer, it may not change that other person from being the jerk that they are. It may not change that situation. But you know who it's going to change? That saying, it's going to change me. It's going to change me. And so I want you to let it go. I want you to stay forgiven. I want you to be forgiven. I want you to walk in the abundance of God. Let's pray. Bow and pray with me just for a moment, church. Dear Jesus, I pray and ask that you would do something that I could never do. And that's by your Holy Spirit. He's most welcome. Do something in the hearts, God, that seems impossible right now, but is possible with God. And so with your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, please, right now, I want you to picture, you may have not done this in a long, long time, but picture that person that hurt you so great and that you need to forgive. I'm going to pray a prayer of forgiveness for you. and I don't really maybe understand all the pain. And you may not even be able to pray it, but by faith, you can have agreement, holy agreement with me. And so we can pray that way in agreement. And so take a step right now of unlocking a prison so that person's released. The one that's suffering is you through this deal, and God wants you to be free. Picture that person right now. Remember, this isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's spiritual. So you walk by faith, the invisible right now. Father, I thank you that Jesus is the example. And we say, as he does from a cross, an innocent man, Father, forgive them. Picture that person, for they know not what they're doing. They may have known what they were doing, you're even saying, but again, forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a decision. Father, I choose to forgive them. And I'm in agreement right now, Lord, with my brother and sister by faith, that you're moving them past this. Right now, I believe that arthritis can be healed because of an offense being let. Hypertension can be set free right now if it was caused by this torture that's coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is your hospital, Lord. And everyone's sick in this place. We're just patients looking at each other right now with IVs in us. Some have breathing apparatuses on them, Lord. Some are in gurneys, God, but we're all in the same hospital in this room, including yours truly. So do something in this hospital, Lord, that the sick are made well. And the wounded, Lord Jesus, they're bandaged right now. And you're pouring in the oil and the wine, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord heal you right now. As you stay in an attitude of prayer, I want to pray for all those that need to receive forgiveness today. You were the one that offended. You were the one maybe that you realized just how you've done wrong today. See, we're all born in a debt, and it's called sin. And being born in that makes us separated from God. And Jesus paid a price for all that sin. Jesus became rape. Jesus became adultery. Jesus became fornication. Jesus became that abuse. Jesus became that hurt. Jesus became all that junk that hurts the heart of God. And he became that garbage so he could build a bridge towards his Father in heaven that's good. And he built it right so you could walk towards that forgiveness. If that's you in this room today, I'm not going to embarrass you saying, well, I'm just too bad. You don't know what I've done. Well, God knows what you've done, and he still forgives you, and he loves you, and he has a plan for your life. He's a redemptive God. You're in this room today. I'm just going to ask that your hands lifted slightly. I'll have a special prayer for you today. I'll ask God. I'll lead you in that prayer. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me. I'm standing in need of prayer. I just need Jesus today. God bless you. Yes. Someone else? Yes. 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 About, yes. I see your hand. Yes. About six hands went up. You can put them down, beloved, once you raise them. You did that before God, not before man. And so we pray this prayer. Those that raise their hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. And the rest of us that are saved by grace right now, sinners in this room, the rest of the hospital patients, amen, in this room, we pray this prayer. Let's pray it together. My Father in heaven, come on, everybody. My Father in heaven, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Your blood, Lord, all the wrong, all the things that I've done is washed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. I'm free. Thank you, Lord. I'm your child. I'm your son, Lord. I'm your daughter, Lord. I'm your own today. Thank you, Lord. Fill this place with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the abundance of the Lord today. Amen and amen. If you did that decision and you meant it, there's a connection card that's right in front of you. I'd like you to just connect with me. Fill that out. And there's a place that you can check. I rededicated my life. I dedicated my life to Jesus. We're going to be encouraged when we see that today. Amen. And so there's also a Growing in Faith class that will begin soon. And get ready for that, because when you are able to go into that class, it's a basic belief class, and you'll have that to be able to go to. But we need your information to be able to tell you about that today. Hey, there's a story about Shaquille O'Neal. and about him dying and going to heaven. How many have been waiting for that? Okay. All right. I didn't know you were going to wear your Lakers jersey, but amen, we're okay. He didn't die a Laker, amen. Well, anyway, it's in the future, and Shaquille dies. It's this joke I heard. And so he went to heaven, and there he's met at the pearly gates by St. Peter. He led him down the golden streets in the golf cart. They're driving down. Shaquille's in there. And they passed David Robinson's house, mansion. They passed Tim Tebow's house, great mansion too. And so they come to the end, and the neighborhood starts getting a little bit funky, man. It just starts getting old, and these apartments start happening. You know, things, the screens are falling off, beat up cars, and they finally to Shaquille's hut. It's like a hut, no windows, dirt floors. And Shaquille steps out and goes, you know, hey, you know, we passed Dave's house and Tim's house, and they're all, Tebow's house, they're all nice mansions. And what's up? Why don't I get this hut? And St. Peter says, man, we tried to do the best we could, but all we could work with was what you sent ahead. And this is all we could manage. All we could do is, and I don't know about Shaq's spiritual condition, but I like using him as an example, amen, because he was never a spur. Give me a good amen. And so I hope it's different for Shaq, but I hope it's different for me and you too. Being in church, I heard it said a person's time is the most valuable thing, and it is. So when you give your time to God and you serve in ministries here, it's awesome. But I think for Americans, especially, it says that according to James, and I'll read that over your life today as you participate in our giving, that James speaks of about the rich and about how they're humbled. But in America, it's almost like, who owns you really? Look at your check debit receipts and all the things that you have on your bank statement. I gave a little bit to the church, and you know, the rest of it is all this or that. And it shows, really, your testimony shows every month about really who owns you today and what percentage is valued in the kingdom. What percentage gives towards, and you're saying, well, y'all need money. No, really, I say this by faith, we're doing okay. I need God's touch on my finances today. I need his increase. I don't really so much want a swimming pool in heaven, or a big mansion, but I want to do so much on this earth that heaven comes to earth for me, and then when I arrive, you know, it's even more spectacular than I've ever imagined, because earth was good, but man, heaven is just so much better for all of us in this room because of the way we live. And as you get ready to give, there's a few ways to give. If you're a first-time guest, I tell this to every first-time guest, I try to remember, don't give today, because you're our guest, and a guest doesn't give. But what happens is you enjoy someone else has given, so you can be a guest in our house, and so we can keep the lights on and do what we're going to do today. If you come back a second time, that's another story, or a third time. I'll show you how to be part of the family, right, everybody? And so the Bible says this, as you hold your seed in your hand, as you get ready to give, in James chapter 1, verse 9, Christians who are poor should be glad, for God has honored them. And those that are rich should be glad, for God has humbled them. They will fade away. It speaks about the rich now, like a flower in the field. When the hot sun rises and dries up to the grass, the flowers wither and its beauty fade away. But also, wealthy people will fade away with all their achievements. And you say, well, that's not me because I'm not rich. Well, if you're an American, you're rich. You're very rich. According to the world standard, you have AC. You have a car that had AC. You drove today in a car. You're rich. You take public transportation. You're rich. You have a roof over your head, you're rich compared to the world. See, the poor, they're going to forget their earthly poverty. The rich, rich brother, he forgets all of his earthly riches. According to the Bible here, the stuff of this earth is temporal. But we want to be, whether we're rich or poor, or our mindset, we want to be rich towards God today. And so I want God's blessing upon your finances today. Would you give towards that today in the sense of your tithe, your offering today? Would you be a giver today? Let's believe God for it right now. Amen. Father, touch the gift and the giver. Thank you, God, for finances right now in the kingdom of God. They're done. to do what we operate on. Lord, Foursquare Missions Press is happening. There's a testimonial that my brother and sister can read about. We're giving directly towards that this month. Thank you, Father, that the hand of God now is given to us when we release our hand right now in the name of Jesus, and you're blessing the people of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give. You can give a text by giving, 77977, keyword Living Faith. Amen. Give in front of you. Give through check, Living Faith Church, right? We're blessed today. A couple of things before we conclude. Amen. As you're giving, you can give. Amen. Thank you, guys. I know I'm putting you on the spot. There you are. God bless you as you give.